These Thursday afternoons, good to have you. Good to be here. 3 p.m. on the dot for you, going all the way up to 5 p.m. for our Thursday night football presentation of Westwood. Vikings and Chargers live here on 1430 to follow us at 5 p.m. Should be a good matchup. Good to be here. Like I said, big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1430 ESPN. You can listen to it live. You can listen to it on demand on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website or on our ESPN Fresno app. So good to have his show, good to have my show, and also have Paul Menter's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live with Paul Menter's on 1430 ESPN on Saturdays as well. So good to be here. Like I said, big thank you to Fashion Furniture for having us here. Of course, still currently Amish Days here at USA at Fashion Furniture, as I can see here, an Amish Days display over there straight ahead for me. Just a reminder, Amish Days USA, no tariffs. Get ready for the holiday season with your family. Yes, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all that great stuff. The holidays are right around the corner, hard to believe. So take advantage of a combined collection of 24 Amish builders and 20,000 square feet of designs from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana. Really is something to see. It's Amish Days USA. The savings up to 50% on floor samples, 0% financing, 48-hour delivery from Fashion Furniture and Lou Ryman's on El Paso across from River Park. There's nothing like it here at Fashion Furniture. Like I said, we also have our pizza that we always get here on these Thursday shows, the Me and Ed's Pizza. Big thanks to Me and Ed's for providing the pizza today, as they always do here as well. Folks here, welcome to enjoy some pizza as they sit and listen to the show. We got 2 hours, like I said. If you want to get involved in the show, the Lee's Air Hotline, which is sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Lee's Air Weather Check, taking a look. It's going to be 72 as a high today, just a perfect day in terms of the fall weather. Tomorrow, just a perfect day of football for a lot of teams who are going to be playing in their Friday night lights. 78 degrees and sunny tomorrow. Should just be absolutely wonderful. Saturday, 74. Cloudy for the Fresno State game day. Kickoff, of course, we all know, 12:30 in the afternoon. So should be a very comfortable afternoon for football at Valley Children's Stadium. So that's your weather check here on our show. Of course, we're going up to 5 p.m. today. Another reminder, yes, we have Thursday Night Football coming up. That's what we'll take you to. On the flip side, over on 790, we have San Jose Sharks Hockey, which is going to be a pregame starting in about 25 minutes or so, live from New York City. Sharks and Rangers from Madison Square Garden. What do we got today? Of course, we got great conversation, great opportunity to talk about all the things local here for the next 2 hours. Like I said, we're going to have our Student Athlete of the Week here joining me in about 10 minutes or so. We got Cam Mobley and Head Coach Joe Piero from the Hoover High School Patriots, of course. Cam is our Student Athlete of the Week, so we'll be bringing him on the show here in the next 10 minutes or so. Can't wait to have that conversation. We'll talk some football on this program. We'll talk, yes, some NBA. Some crazy news abound in terms of the NBA as well. Who knows what that will mean. Look at some high school games tonight on the docket, four of them on the central section to lead us off here as well, and maybe a little bit of some baseball talk here in the next 2 hours, like I say. It's going to be a good one. We're here, like I said, live till 5 o'clock. Let's bring in our producer here, who is over in the studio down the road, Jorge, who's holding it down for us over there. Jorge, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Hey, Phil, I'm pretty good. You know, just here doing stuff.
Just compelling things, you're telling us, Jorge. Just compelling things. You can tell me if you're distracted.
Pushing buttons and
yeah.
No.
Tony giving you a heart attack at the end of that show? He always seems to do so. That was his – felt like Tony was going way over his time there this time.
No, he was good. I just had another call in between that I was trying to get going, and and it just a lot of stuff just
a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, happened. It was things that weren't supposed to happen, but we're good now.
Of course. But now we're doing things that are supposed to happen, which is during our show. So good to have that. We also have Chillin' right here. He'll be popping in and around the show. Daniel's here. Daniel, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, just took my ibuprofen to get rid of my headache. And now I think we're 100%.
Can't be, so. You got to be 100%, man.
I think we're 100% now.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to be all right with Daniel here as well. So, like I said, it's going to be interesting to talk about what we got on the schedule for it as well. Of course, I think it's hard-pressed to not get into what maybe we are seeing around the sports world right now with this NBA story, which now a big top sports story brought to you by Valley Pure sits us at, you know, two major NBA personalities, I would say, one a head coach, one a player, another former player as well, Damon Jones. You got Chauncey Billups arrested, Terry Rozier arrested by the FBI, charged in a two separate gambling cases, yet both of them are connected with some people involved, including we're talking Cosa Nostra Mafia, allegedly, as well. Some interesting stuff there in terms of all of the surrounding elements to it. When we woke up and was reading about this story, of course, the first thought I said is, what a hell of a time for the NBA to get this kind of story, right, with how opening night went. It was according to some numbers, the most watched opening night in NBA history since the 2010 season.
Really?
In terms of it. So usually the interest from the NBA is something that I think they would welcome, but now it's interest from the other side, on the flip side. But maybe there's a story of any PR is good PR, right, in terms of it? But this seems to be a tough situation. For those who don't know, Chauncey Billups, on a very short side of things, Chauncey Billups arrested in an FBI poker gambling ring where there was a lot of fraud and cheating in terms of that involving the mafia. Nothing directly in terms of the sports betting side of things, so I guess the NBA can be taking a deep breath on that and being all right. But the Terry Rozier thing, which he was originally cleared by the NBA, now he was allowed to play, including a game last night against Orlando. And then appears, I think, at some point he got arrested last night from the Orlando airport in terms of unders surrounding his stat line. So I say this with the interest of what we can be talking about. I think it's fair to say, of course, big picture-wise, it is interesting to see these kinds of stories pop out around the sports world, right, with Terry Rozier and these sports gambling stories. Of course, we had our own sports gambling scandal here at Fresno State with the players gambling on their prop bets and being banned from the NCAA in terms of it. So from a small picture to a big picture, it is permeating everywhere in terms of sports gambling being a vice that a lot of players are seeming to think they could get away from, get away with in terms of what they can do. So my curiosity is to say, is this the tip of the iceberg? Is there more to come? Will we see other instances where players think they can get away with quote-unquote sports murder on this situation? That is the question I have for a lot of things this afternoon. And so we'll see what all plays out. But Daniel, do you feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg in this thing?
I really didn't think so. I feel like a lot of players, even coaches, do this stuff, but like they just keep it a lot more under the rug and they haven't been caught yet. But I think it's something that just shouldn't, like, nobody involved in professional sports should be able to do, at least on their own sport.
Mm-hmm. The other aspect of this, of course, there has been some other shady betting practices that the NBA has been alerted to, including indictments containing descriptions of several unnamed NBA players who had injury status and availability for certain games were the source of betting activity, including some players like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Of course, these players are not accused of any wrongdoing, and there's no indication that they would have ever known what was being said about their status for those games. But more often than not, it seems like their call is coming from inside the house of the NBA. There are people who are facilitating this nefarious behavior, and the NBA has got a real issue in terms of that kind of behavior, of the insider information, thinking they can get a cut, and it seems like it can permeate throughout the league. Yeah. And that is an interesting aspect to it. I think the most alarming part, because that means there are people in this league that think they can get away with it, and there are people that think they are, until we see maybe how deep-rooted this this situation is, that is going to be a curious issue to follow in terms of the NBA. Mm-hmm. So, Jorge, do you have any thoughts on this NBA gambling thing so far that's come out? There's been a lot of stories, a lot of news coming out about it. The FBI, when you get investigated by the FBI, yeah, that's generally the worst-case scenario for you in terms of it. But do you have any opening thoughts on this whole thing as it's now coming to a head for the National Basketball Association?
Well, I feel like this is I feel like this is two different stories that kind of are the same, like the Chance of Phillips story and the player for the Heat,
Terry Rozier.
Yeah, Rozier. Yeah. But I mean, they're both gambling stories, so that people are thinking there's the same thing. But
well, the only thing that's same with everything is that there are players in both stories that are connected. Like, I'm not saying players in terms of NBA players. I'm saying mob members, potentially.
People
who are connected to both of these situations, both of these gambling situations. While it's not that Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier were in cahoots, it's people who they both were directly connected to that are both involved in this kind of scandal. So that's why it's connected. Among other investigations of the FBI in terms of gambling practices with the NBA.
So, I'm reading this right here, and I think it was a whole large investigation that caught both of them doing gambling things.
Yeah.
But separate, but not like the same things.
Separate instances, yes.
But it was one investigation that caught all of them.
Because basically Chauncey Billups is cheating people out of poker games, allegedly. In terms of using x-ray machines, in terms of using special contact lenses that could show what kind of cards were what kind of cards,
wow.
All that kind of crazy stuff.
This sounded like something that should have happened in New York, not Portland.
Yeah, well, maybe he was in New York in the offseason.
It was a Brooklyn. It was a Brooklyn indictment, so it must have been in New York, yeah.
He must have been – it's not when he was coaching, I would imagine. He's not just going up and to a shady hotel nearby. Out by the Moda Center and seeing what he can combine from. But anyways, and then Rozier is obviously somebody calling in terms of what he was going to plan on doing and allegedly why he was missing out on games at that point. But both calls or both people involved in the same kind of scheme, there must be some sort of small circle of people, including, according to the FBI, connected to the mafia. It's a fascinating story. It almost sounds like out of Hollywood, per se, in terms of it, but this is only day one of us figuring out the information. And I got to imagine there could be more. But when the FBI comes out with this stuff and goes public on this stuff, usually to me that's kind of it.
There's more people. The only one that's actually active player is Rozier. And the only reason why they named Phillips is because he's a coach of a team, but there's other people involved in this, another player, old players or former players.
Well, Jontay Porter as well was involved in this. We already know he's been permanently banned from the NBA. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to follow in terms of it. Like I said, we're just at the beginning. So,
and
but
I just want to say something real quick. Honestly, and this is all happening because And I'm talking about, like, you know, betting on the NBA it just became more popular after, you know, years ago they did the change where you could actually bet on games and stuff like that. And all this, you know, betting sites and betting apps and all this stuff has changed. And all of a sudden ESPN now has, you know, a betting a site where you could go and see the lines, which is not illegal, but at the same time you're promoting something that is, you know, borderline could, you know, be bad for for things.
Yeah. Well, what is the onus of the leagues is to protect their players from doing things like diminishing the integrity of the game. I think the NBA has a clear issue now of that permeating through the league. We don't hear this right now about the NFL. Maybe there could be some situations in the NFL that pop up. The NFL may be harder to fix because you're not directly affecting the game, I think, as much as NBA basketball players are. Hockey, you don't hear about it, but then again, I don't know. Maybe it's just not being investigated. Baseball, everyone knows about those kind of scandals when they pop up as well. And Class A's popping up in terms of that case as well, and some of the Guardian players. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of practices are going to be implemented with these leagues moving forward and how else they can be policed, because I think there will be a revamp needed sometime soon. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our Athlete of the Week here coming up next on 1430. It's our Student Athlete of the Week, Cam Mobley, and Coach Joe Piero as well, going to be joining us next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to By the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Always good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week, and we got a good one this week, including from Hoover High School, Cam Mobley, quarterback for the Hoover Patriots. We got Joe Piero as well, head coach of the Hoover Patriots. Gentlemen, it's good to have you here. Thanks for coming on down for a Thursday afternoon. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Feeling thanks good. For having us. I appreciate it.
Good to have you both. It's exciting to highlight the Hoover Patriots season, especially the season like Cam is having. Good junior season right now at the QB position for you. And, of course, we want to honor you for the Student Athlete of the Week. We had a great game last week against Matilda Torres. I believe somewhere in the realm of 5 touchdowns and 6 total touchdowns, almost 75-plus yards as well on the ground. You were everywhere on the football field last week. So congrats to you, first of all, for being our ESPN Student Athlete
Thank
of the Week.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And, Coach, I'm sure when I sent you that text and let you know about that, I'm sure you're thrilled about recognizing what Cam's been doing for you guys this season for you. What was the level of excitement for you knowing Cam was getting this honor?
I mean, he's a great kid. You know what I mean? He's somebody who sits in the front of the class. He studies film, does well in the classroom, and then carries it over to the football field. So somebody we really appreciate being one of our leaders.
Absolutely. Cam, of course, when you hear Coach say that, a guy talks about you being an attentive student, attentive football player, one that knows that you got the responsibility quarterback for your team. You know, tell me a little bit about what that means to you when you hear Coach say that.
It means a lot, you know, knowing your coaches have faith in you. It just makes you push harder every day. It means gives you a purpose, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, it's great to talk about the student part of it and the athlete part of it. That's the whole point of our award as well, you know, being a good student in the classroom and leading in that way. Cam, let's talk about last week, right, against Matilda Torres. And you guys got off to a great start with the rhythm you had on offense. And you get into a game like this where you're finding guys and making big plays. You know, 393 through the air, 6 total touchdowns. I'm sure you'll credit your teammates in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
But tell me about just being in a game like that.
A lot of it is just what we practice all week, going off what we learn. So it feels normal in the game. A lot of the credit goes to line, receivers, really. We got a lot of athletes, so my job is a lot simpler. Just get these dudes the ball,
mm-hmm.
let them go to work.
What about for you, Coach, when you're watching Cam get into a rhythm, right? Cause it's all about what quarterback is sometimes. It's
Absolutely.
It's just getting into that flow, and then suddenly when that thing rolls, you know, you feel a lot of confidence exuding from him and a lot of confidence around his players. What is it like from the sideline watching that?
What it does, it spreads like wildfire. You know what I mean? It's something that you want your kids to understand all this thing, all the work that we put in. When it comes together, it's like, okay, this is the rhythm that we've been looking for. And you want to build on it. You don't want to go 1 week up and 1 week down. You want to have a level of consistency. And so that is what we were striving for. And, you know, we feel like we're on the way to get there.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
And you guys really picked it up when league play a starter, right? You got a winning record right now in this league. And I got a couple more opportunities to, you know, fight in this league and get to a good spot. I believe three wins already get you to the playoffs, but you want better seeding, obviously, to get to that point. And so that's the hope. You know, tell me about just wins like this that can add to the element of getting good momentum going into the end of the season, obviously, when you want to extend it as much as you want to at the end of it.
Well, I'll go first and we'll let Cam jump on there. Yeah. So you definitely want to find a rhythm by midseason, give or take. You want to figure out what kind of what your team is good at or what you need to work on a little bit more. That way, when the playoffs do start, you're in the rhythm that you want to be in. The kids are believing in everything that we're doing. You know, they're excited about coming to practice, putting the work in, and you start to see the difference. So that's, you know, that's kind of the rhythm we want to be in towards the end of the year.
What about for you, Cam, that momentum, that rhythm? You guys getting a win like this and building into the end of the regular season, into the playoffs?
I think it really lets us build on what we have. And going into playoffs, we should already know what we need to do to execute, finish, and just work. So I think a lot of us just playing and winning now, I think it just sets the tempo for what we got going on going into the playoffs. So we just got to execute.
So what does Hoover have right now in terms of what you meant about building on what you guys have? And what is the Hoover Patriot football way? For the people who may not know about the Hoover program or how you guys have been playing this year, what does the Hoover Patriots have going for it as a team?
I think we got a lot of athletes. We have a lot of guys who are really hungry. Like people might not see it. We got a lot of dudes who are hungry. A lot of people who want to be out there and just want to be great.
Mm-hmm. What about that from Coach, you know, when he says, you know, you guys want to build on what you have, you know, as you as a coach, you know, what does this team have right now that you're continuing to cultivate into the final weeks of the regular season?
You know, I believe we have a bunch of kids that are willing to do whatever is necessary. Whatever is necessary it takes to get what we want from the drive, from the classroom, from watching film, hitting the weight room, doing whatever it takes, okay? It's a process. You know, I've had to deal myself in patience, knowing that you have a vision for things that you want to have happen. My vision is like I want it to happen overnight, but realistically, you have to build on it. And so now it's like you pour into it, and you finally see the growth that you want or the growth that you're desiring. But my thing, and he knows this, I'm hard on him, right? Mm-hmm. He's the hardest kid I'm hardest on is on him. Because we don't just want to be satisfied with where we are. We want to continue to grow.
Yeah, and when Coach mentions, like, you know, he pushes you in that sense, and it's kind of like iron sharpens iron in a way, right, Cam? Does it feel that way? And how do you welcome that as a challenge of a quarterback, knowing he has high expectations for you?
It makes me strive a lot harder than I feel like I normally would, knowing what his expectations are, and knowing what my other coach's expectations are, makes me really push to be excellent and just try to execute a lot better. Even if I do good, I feel like there's always more I could do, always become better.
Absolutely.
And Coach, when he's able to have that kind of response, and you say you push him in that sense, you know, what does it tell you about Cam and the way he has grown to know that he's a kid that takes that and uses it to get better, as opposed to maybe some kids are like, oh, man, I don't like when Coach
right.
gets on me like that.
Well, you know? it's developing a growth mindset.
Yeah.
Okay? And knowing that your coach is somebody who's considered a perfectionist, right? I'm not telling you anything that most coaches don't say. So, yes, you threw for 393, but could have been 600. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're 3-5, but could it be 6-1? It's like always looking at something not necessarily with the glass half full, but like there's always more in the tank. And you hear me tell the kids all the time, leave it on the field. You know, leave it on the field. You don't want to live and go, man, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. I wish I played harder. I wish I threw that pass. I wish I made that tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Always empty your tank. Always.
Yeah, especially on the Friday nights when you guys are playing, of course. And, you know, it's interesting to kind of see where this team is, right? Because I'm you know, I look at the makeup and the contributors, right? There's a lot of guys that, you know, are of your grade level, and there's guys a step up in the senior realm, but you've got some senior leadership in this team that seems to be able to lean on for you. You know, it's all sometimes you think of programs and there's just like a group of kids that are going through each program and the opportunity to present for making something special. go to coach again, does this feel like this is a crew that has the makeup to put Hoover in a spot where it could go, that you would want to see it go further than it's gone in a little bit now?
Yes. One word answer.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. And the future is bright. So it's not just this year. You know, we this has all been building about a program, you know, where we can continue to be competitive year after year. I felt like we had a strong opportunity to go last year. A few things went wrong in our second round of the playoffs. And so that's kind of been our drive for this year. It's like we don't want to make those same mistakes, you know. So let's not leave anything for chance and just get after it.
What about for you, Cam? You know, you're a junior, right? So you know you have another year with some of the guys that are on this team, but you know some of the guys you have this last opportunity to make it special. So how do you balance, you know, knowing that you want to make things special for the guys that are coming out, but also make sure you build on what you have, knowing that coach says, hey, there's some guys who can make Hoover real special here?
So for right now, I think my goal is just work with what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Seniors, make sure they get what they can. And for upcoming, next year, is just we set the tempo right now. Set the tempo right now for next year, so everything's normal. So
you seem to have a lot of good targets on this team in terms of the way you can go after
most
it, right? Like Justice Bell, like Pamir Olivier. Pamir, I know I talked to him about him in basketball side of things as well, so good to see him. He's especially producing that game for you, three touchdowns in that one.
Definitely.
You know, tell me about your targets, how you build the chemistry of it from those guys, and how far back do you guys go in terms of chemistry?
That's good.
Oh, me and Justice. I met Justice in – 7th grade, maybe. I've been throwing to him for a while. It's just it builds up, and now he's finally a senior. We get to play, and everything just clicked. I feel like we working, and Pamir's an athlete. Just give him the ball, he makes something happen every time. And it's not just those two dudes. I feel like
Omar Washington, right?
Yeah.
Aguilera as well. He made a big play in the last game.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Rafael
Campos, you know, he had a couple big plays as well. Julian Jimenez gets you some tough yards as well. There's a lot of guys out there on this Hoover team. And Coach, I name these names, and I'm sure those guys are big contributors each way. You can lean on them in certain situations.
Yeah.
But tell me about just the makeup of this group in terms of just how much they're blended together this year and how much they've been able to lean on each other this year.
You know, our moniker this year is brothers over others. Okay, so don't just play for yourself. You know, you really got to play for the guy next to you. Stop worrying about, well, I got to get my stats and I got to get my tackles and my catch. No, man, you have a job to do. And sometimes you may have zero tackles, but you kept outside contained all game, so your other brothers could. Okay, sometimes you might have 10 catches and sometimes you might have one, but we win the game. So you have to look at it like, don't worry about, you know, me getting mine and getting, you know, your time will come. Your time will come. So just be patient. Trust the process. You know, coach speak. But that's just what we believe in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to get to know how early have you known, like how young have you known Cam? How long has it been since you've known Cam Mobley and knowing he's coming up in your program into this year?
First time I found out about Cam, I believe he was an eighth grader because I was coaching his brother. And he said, yeah, I got a little brother. You know, he's coming up. And, I think he had a broken arm or something like that. And I think he played receiver. And they said, oh, no, I'm a quarterback. I said, okay, we'll see. You know, and so that kind of started the process. You know, I coached his brother and have been coaching with his dad for a little bit now. But well aware of the Mobley family, you know, very, very, very blessed to have coached, you know, not just him but his brother.
Cam, are you like your brother, or are you guys a little bit different, different style? And I'll ask Coach the same question. You know, what's your brother like, and do you feel like you guys are different kind of guys in terms of the way the football you guys play on the football field?
I play quarterback. My brother plays D line.
Oh, so, he does. Okay.
Yeah. My brother plays at Delaware State.
He's
an athlete. He works really hard. I'm glad to have him. I feel like he really set a blueprint out for me. Just to work.
Was he always chasing and tackling as an older brother? Just
always.
Is that how you, I'm assuming you're kind of a mobile guy on the football field as a quarterback. Did he train you in that sense sometimes? Or
A lot of running away from him in the backyard. A lot of that. A lot.
Oh, man, that's got to be fun. Think back to the memories, right? And, you know, Cam, when you first got to know Coach Piero, and obviously you've got your dad who's getting you through the program, and you know what Hoover football has been about for a little bit now, watching your brother grow through it, you know. Well, how much did you kind of dream and think about being a quarterback at this team and having the opportunity to play quarterback at a high school level and obviously seeing where that can kind of go and lead you to moving forward?
Man, you know, I played youth football for Hoover, and we always would go to the high school games. It was always, like, big for me. I always wanted to play under the lights. And I think now getting that opportunity, I want to make the most of it. And it's kind of, like, crazy to me because I feel like the kids now would want to be like that.
Yeah.
So it's like – I'm just glad I get the opportunity to play.
Do you see some of those younger kids all the time?
Yeah, at our practices almost every day.
Yeah. Coach, how important is that? You know, for the guys to recognize they were once those younger kids looking and being a role model for those younger kids to show them the right way and show them the Hoover way and how they carry themselves on a football field.
So Hoover is all about community, right? And so you're not just playing for, you know, who you are. You know, you're playing for the community there. So when we're talking about little kids that want to grow up and be like you, that's exactly what's going on. Right? We have regional night and a bunch of kids are high-fiving, want autographs and stuff like that because, hey, I want to be number 9. I want to be number 1. Look at those jerseys. That gives them something to strive for. You know, I can remember in my day when I was playing for Clovis West. I grew up in the Clovis West community, mm-hmm. and I was at Dry Creek, and they had regional night, the same thing. I remember like it was yesterday. And I dreamed of one day being able to play for my coach, Max Newberry, and, you know, like the dream came true. So that is like what you want to have. That is what you want to build, and that's what you want to strive to be, that's for sure.
And getting those kids to buy into that dream and to be able to play sports, which creates a discipline, right, to do what you want to do, and, you know, especially getting good grades, being disciplined in that, right? I'm sure you share the sentiment of, like, guys, football teaches us a lot, especially about the discipline of being a student, being an athlete, and being an adult, eventually, when they get to the community.
They hear this from me. They hear this story all the time. But football is the absolute best sport in the world to teach you everything you need to know in life. It likes giving you the blueprint.
Yeah.
You got your highs, you got your lows, you got your ups, you got your downs. You have your highest moments, you have your lowest moments, all on the football field, right? You learn to play with pain, so you have injury. Okay. You learn how to deal with adversity, right? You got weather issues. You got breakup issues, right? So everything that you think that you're going to have in life, I tell them, this is just a blueprint. Right, and what better way to lay out what we're going to do in life other than say, okay, here it is. And then, you know, you say that to the kids and you hopefully down the road, you know, they may not get it 5 years from now. They may not get it 10 years from now, but maybe they're 15. Coach, you were right. You're right. I bumped my head not listening to what you said. I should have stuck it out. I shouldn't have quit. I shouldn't have gave up. I should have lifted that extra weight. Right? It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
Right? So – You lay all that out for them, you know, and eventually you hope they get it, and preferably they get it during the season, right?
For sure.
Because that way you can get the most out of them.
Yeah.
But sometimes it happens after.
Yeah. Cam, who are your influences? Like, who influences you to be the person who you are, and whether it's maybe just playing football the way you play football, or just in general how you carry yourself? Who are your big influencers?
Definitely my dad. You know, I've been playing since youth. He put me in. And my brother. Mainly my brother, just the level he's playing at, I feel like it really inspires me to, you know how brothers are. I want to be better than him.
Of course.
So, you know, him being up there, it makes me just want to strive even harder because I want to be better than him.
Of course, of course. Only got a few minutes left here, but I want to get into just what you guys got coming up, and this league is a good one. You know, you guys are 3-2 right now, but you got a couple good tests coming up: Roosevelt, McLean, two teams playing very good football right now. You guys know the test in front of you, but what's these last few weeks for Hoover? What needs to be shown for you? I'll start with Coach, in hopes that this team is ready to go when it comes to the playoff time and when it comes to the do-and-die time back against the wall, got to win to keep the season going.
The road that's against us, we're playing two high-quality playoff teams, right? Both of those teams went far last year. And both are at the level that we're, you know, striving to get to. So what better test than to go head-to-head, you know? And the thing is, you can't arrive at a game with any fear. You can't arrive at a game with, well, we're playing this team this week. You know, you have to arrive at, you know, forget about, you know, where we're playing, you know, forget about who we're playing. It's more about how we're playing, mm-hmm. right? And the kids know this. And so that's just my motto.
Cam, you welcome that challenge these next couple weeks. Roosevelt, you've probably been grinding Roosevelt tape all week so far. You ready for it tomorrow, I'm sure. You welcome the challenge of a week like this and what you got in front of you?
Yeah, this is like my chance to prove myself. You know, it's a big game, so I'm doing what I can. Execute, hopefully we come out on top.
Hopefully so. Should be a good one. All right, let's get to the prizes portion of this show. So we love some prizes here. I'm going to show first what we got in the bag. This is your bag. We got a Toledo's Family 4-Pack here for you. If you go to Toledo's Restaurant, about Cedar and Knees.
Thank you so much.
We've got a KFC gift certificate there for, it looks like a couple of pieces, combo meal.
Thank you.
How about two tickets to this Saturday?
Ooh.
Fresno State.
Watch
and San Diego State. Got a T-shirt for you.
Thank you.
As well. This is your bag that you can carry all the swag in.
Thank you, guys.
Dan, let's get the cooler out next up here. Let's bring it on the desk here next to Coach Piero. And if we open it up here, there should be some milk in there for you from courtesy of Raw Farms. I'm sure maybe some protein shakes that would go well in your protein shake for you.
Raw milk.
There you go. And Coach, on the top there, Daniel, you want to grab that piece of paper that's hanging off of there? Coach, for you, you can contact that number, and they will deliver a team drop of milk to the team, strawberry, chocolate milk, all that stuff for the team, courtesy of what Cam's been able to do as our Student Athlete of the Week. So,
well, thank you. Thank you, Cam.
Yeah, there you go. And the last one, this is always the fun one.
I didn't see that.
Little big check with your name on it, Student Athlete of the Week. Hoover High, Coach Piero's name on there as well.
Nice.
And that's for you to take as well.
Thank you, guys.
I'm sure you got someplace maybe you want to put that.
For sure.
So I'm sure Dad will figure it out as well. But that is for you as well. We'll just hold it down right now there. I don't want to get you in there. Yeah, there you go. So that's for you as well. I'll put it down here for now.
Nice.
So, and lastly, you're invited to our end-of-the-year Student Athlete of the Year banquet where we have all the student athletes over the week from the entire school year. You're invited to that banquet, and you're automatically a nominee for the Male Student Athlete of the Year.
Thank you so much.
We'll have you get the invitation and all that. Should be around June, early June time for that, so should be good. Guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Head Coach Joe Piero and Cam Mobley, our Student Athlete of the Week of Hoover High Football. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one here next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Cam Mobley and Joe Piero, head coach and player, Hoover, Student Athlete of the Week for Cam Mobley. Great week, great interview for him, and good luck for good luck for Hoover High as they go up against Roosevelt tomorrow on 7:30 over at Roosevelt there. Cam Mobley, of course, one of our many Student Athletes of the Week over this course of this season. A reminder, if you want to nominate your Athlete of the Week for you, get involved by going to our website, 1430ESPNFresno.com. That is where you can nominate a Student Athlete of the Week for you there. You can you can just go follow the form. You should be able to find it there on our website. And we always are looking for nominees throughout the season. Of course, we will continue with football, but hey, basketball could be coming up around the horizon as well. So I would like you to see if you can nominate some athletes today. All right. So high school, speaking of high school sports, there's some big games tomorrow, right? Let's take a look at some of the slate tonight. Of course, Not a heavy schedule tonight, just four games in the central section to pay attention to. Pioneer Valley's at Rigetti tonight. Two teams looking to try to salvage their season. Pioneer Valley 1-7 right now. Rigetti 2-6. Three wins in the central section can get you into the playoffs. So Rigetti could clinch that if they grab a win there. Shafters at Chavez tonight. Shafters playing very good football. You could imagine they are going to be doing all right against Chavez. 7-1 Shafter, 2-6 Chavez there. Redwood is at LD tonight. LD just having a really rough season, 0-8 right now on the year. You got to imagine Redwood is going to handle business there. And Justin Garza is taking on Edison tonight. The Edison Tigers, Edison still winless this season. And Garza trying to recapture something after after a great start to their year. Two straight losses has really diminished Garza's chances, of course, of making it into their winning their league side of things. Tough loss to Sanger, tough loss to Bullard. Look to bounce back as they get Edison tonight, and then they close the season at home against Madera. A little quick review of what's tomorrow in terms of the ranked matchups, of course. Tomorrow we have St. Joe's at Lompoc. St. Joe's really wild loss to Arroyo Grande last week, so we'll see if they can bounce back. Of course, I got our game, Clovis and Central East. That should be a good one. 7 p.m. kick there. Sanger's at Madera tomorrow. I think Sanger, if they get a win, feels like Sanger can win the CMAC there with a win, so we'll pay attention to that. Buchanan's at Clovis East, Clovis East tomorrow. Buchanan currently kind of trending to that four spot in the playoff situation. Clovis North at Clovis West. Clovis North lost three straight in the track after starting 5-0, including a win over Frontier. So Clovis North is really needing something to turn the tide for them. Bakersfield Christian taking their undefeated record out to Independence tomorrow night. We'll see what they do there. Templeton's 8-0. They got Napomo 5-3 tomorrow at home. Tulare Union's at Dinuba. 6-2 Tulare Union. Dinuba's dangerous. Just keep that in mind. And Garces Memorial is at Liberty of Bakersfield. Liberty 2-6. A reminder, you need three to get into the playoffs. Liberty, it's not given here that they could beat Garces here. So it really could come down to the last week for the Liberty Bakersfield Patriots there. Reedley is at 5-3 Kingsburg. That should be an interesting one. Kingsburg plays really good defense. We saw that last week in our broadcast as well. Hanford at Mission Oak. Hanford, it's a week-by-week situation with them. Sometimes you never know what you're going to quite get. Golden West is at Menachi. Golden West has lost two in a row. So after a prolific 6-0 start, they look to get back to their winning ways potentially. But that's going to be a tough one. San Joaquin Memorial is at Bullard. Bullard playing better football of late, just to point it out there. We were paying attention to what Bullard and the Knights have been looking like. Two straight wins, one at Madera and one at Garza after their 13-7 tough loss to Sanger. I got to believe Bullard could still be in that hunt, potentially on the outside looking in league play. It is tough when you have that head-to-head loss to Sanger there. Other ones, Kennedy's hosting Taft tomorrow. Porterville's host at Mount Whitney. Bakersfield High at Ridgeview. Frontier is at Highland, so that's some of the Bakersfield and South Valley action there as well. Do we have anything else? No, I think that's about it. Like I said, our student athlete of the week, Hoover, Patriots, Cam Mobley and company taking on Roosevelt tomorrow. So there you go. Should be good. Should be a good slate of high school games. A reminder, of course, we got the schedule as well. Working for us tonight, like I said, Vikings and Chargers. Sharks and Rangers are just getting started over there on 790, just about 5 minutes till puck drop there. World Series action starts tomorrow. That's going to be on 790. 4 p.m. pregame with a 5 p.m. first pitch between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays in Toronto. I think it's safe to say you guys know where I stand on that one in terms of it. But don't let my Dodger fandom or Dodger rooting for the Dodgers last year fool you. I will not be rooting for the Dodgers this year, as many other people maybe in baseball and people who are watching baseball may be avoiding that situation altogether as well. Niners and Texans on Sunday in the 14:30 side of things. So that'll be your football on Sunday. Lakers back at it on Sunday as well as they take on the Sacramento Kings. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got a full hour of sports talk for you here next. Stay with us. You're listening Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. It's, is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
All right, that's right. Hour number two of our show here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Thursday afternoon, October 23rd. I don't know if I've been able to say that just quite yet. But now here we are. Good to be here. Good to be on this Thursday. One more hour before we are off and running to our evening programming on the afternoon. Thursday night football getting set to be played out at SoFi Stadium. Chargers hosting the Vikings in a good battle over the other side there. But good to be here. Good to be live. And I like standing. I like standing. If you see me standing on the stream, that's where we are. We're streaming, by the way, on 1430 ESPN website. We're also streaming the video portion on our YouTube page, on our Facebook page, on our Twitch. ESPN Fresno is where you can find us there as well. Daniel's here next to me. He'll be chilling for the next hour as we go through some sports talk as well. We'll talk about some other things going on. Jorge is there as well. Guys, did you know, I think I can officially say this. I think Fresno State fans are currently beefing online with James Madison fans. Have you guys been seeing this on the Twitterverse?
I have not seen this. What?
Yeah. Jorge, are you aware of the potential beef between James Madison fans and Fresno State fans?
Is it about the Bulldogs?
It's about the blackout helmet logo. Yes.
Oh.
The James Madison is claiming that we have stolen the version of the Bulldog that James Madison has been using for years and years and years for our blackout helmets. But Fresno State fans clearly, I think, have the upper hand in this argument because somebody has gone to great lengths to tell the James Madison fans that, yes, while you and us currently have the same logo on our helmets this week in terms of it, Fresno State has been using that Bulldog logo since 1976. James Madison adopted a pretty similar-looking Bulldog logo in 1977. Oh. So, coincidental or copycat, who's the real copycat? James Madison fans are claiming Fresno State is copying them. Fresno State fans are claiming James Madison copied us back in the 70s. I know we're all on the side of Fresno State, right? But I find this comical that this is an argument.
Now we have receipts, bro. So I doesn't
look at the receipts.
We have the receipts, so
that? Oh yeah,
we used it for longer.
I'm showing Daniel a side by side comparison of the two logos, the Fresno State one and the James Madison one. And what does it say there, Daniel? The year it started, our Fresno State one.
1976,
and that one next to the James Madison one. What year did that start?
That says 1977.
If my math is correct, 1976 is earlier than they're, 1977, right?
They're the Dukes.
So, yeah.
So what does that have to do with a Bulldog? Like,
Well, because remember, the Duke, isn't that the nickname of the British Bulldog? Isn't that the nickname of, like, British royalties?
I think so, yeah.
Like the Bulldog royalty or anything like that?
A Duke, the British Duke is a British lord, a British title. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Duke.
But I think when in reference to a British, like an English Bulldog, they're called Dukes sometimes. Like that's part of the vernacular in terms of British Bulldog or British, I don't know. Somebody look it up real quick for me. Duke, Dukes, Bulldog, slang, British, I don't know. I don't know exactly how to look that up in terms of it. But Jorge, this only can mean one thing, right? We need to play James Madison in the next 5 years. Right.
Yeah. Let's go destroy James Madison, cause, and call it the Bulldog Bowl.
Bulldog Bowl, yeah. Right?
Apparently, Duke is the name of their dog, and
that's the and name of their dog.
Yeah, the James Madison dog, official mascot. That's the name of the dog.
So they named their dog before they named a mascot.
Duke dog. So apparently, they were the Dukes, and they decided to get a bulldog as their mascot, so they named him Duke. The dog, or mm-hmm. Duke dog. Because it says here that not all Bulldogs are called Dukes. The nickname Dukes specifically refers to the athletic teams of James Madison University, which is a Bulldog mascot named Duke the dog, or Duke dog.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't.
The
even
nickname
call
was chosen
dogs
in 1947 to honor.
I'm not finding anything on that.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well, we're not interested in the history of James Madison anyway, because James Madison's history is interested in just copying Fresno State at this point. So that's where the argument is. James Madison fans, come at me. Come at me. Come on. Someone clip this. Put it on social.
So they chose the Bulldog as a mascot. Listen to this. They chose the Bulldog as a mascot in 72-73 to represent the Dukes, right?
72-73, they chose the Bulldog mascot?
That's when they decided.
Okay, bookmark that right now.
But they didn't have any logos.
Uh-huh. You want to know when Fresno State decided to be the Bulldogs?
1920s?
Way earlier. So anybody who is James Madison Twitter out there, Fresno fans, I'm imploring you, go out, get the James Madison trolls, educate them. They do not know ball. Fresno State has every right to have this logo on their helmet.
Who is now, James Madison? What are they?
James Madison was a political figure. I know who that is,
but I'm telling you, who is James Madison University to come at us like that? What have they done?
They weren't even FBS, 10 years ago, I think. They were like FCS for a long time until they came into the Sun Belt. Not even the best Sun Belt team out there.
Then they got one good year where they got to be on game day.
Is that where Cignetti came from?
I think
the Indiana current Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti came from JMU. That's why they
think so.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, hey, and wouldn't it be nice? Let me lay out this situation for you here. Wouldn't it be nice? A former Bulldog coach, Tim Skipper, this week can beat a former JMU coach in Kurt Cignetti this week when UCLA whoops those Indiana Hoosier you-know-whats this weekend.
Yeah, he was with JMU.
Come on, Bruins. Right, Jorge? Now we know what we're rooting for this Saturday.
Yeah, of course.
You can't. You're not giving me a vote of confidence here. Jorge, in your good conscience, you sound like you can't root for UCLA, and I know why.
I mean, I'm okay with it, but, like, whatever.
You're whatever. Okay.
UCLA is the hottest team in college football right now.
Talking to a USC fan on the other line right now that I think can't, in his good consciousness and good faith, root for a UCLA Bruin team.
I could care less about them. Really. Like, okay. Like, I
care about them if they beat who should be the number one ranked team right now.
Who? Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they beat both. I think they win the Big Ten.
I would go as far as say that, too.
And I said this about a month ago. UCLA was the worst college football team in the nation from what I saw. And now they may be the best. Go figure. Coaching matters. Coaching matters, right? Coaching matters for the 49ers as well. Injury report brought to you by Davison Van Wagenen. Davison Van Wagenen, 40-plus years of experience in injury, personal injury law. Be sure to stop by the offices of Davison Van Wagenen for any personal injury need. Let's talk about this 49ers team coming in who, like I said, coaching matters, especially with Kyle Shanahan, the way he's handled this team. This is the only team on our station right now that's going to be playing a game this Sunday, so let's preview it a little bit here. Got the Texans this week, D'Amico Ryans and his crew coming off a short week after, I would say, a disastrous showing in their Monday night game, a pathetic showing in their Monday night football game against the Seattle Seahawks. Looks like Ricky Pearsall missed practice yesterday. I don't know if we have any reports from the 49ers side that Ricky Pearsall was practicing today, but I haven't seen any indications to get there yet. Do we have any updates from practice from the 49ers or anything like that? I'm going to try to check myself as well, see if we have any update on it. I know it's been limited for Brock Purdy and the chances of potentially seeing him in this week in terms of it as well. Jorge, have you seen any injury update in terms of the 49ers so far?
No injury update yet. But
Pearsall did not practice tonight. So that gives me an indication. Go ahead.
No, they just had the people who did not practice, but they're updating. It comes out tomorrow, their injuries. They're non-playing players for Sunday come out tomorrow.
It sounds like the Niners are not have Ricky Pearsall in this game of Sunday, because I felt like today was the key day for him to practice, and if he can't practice today, then it doesn't sound like he'll be ready to go by Sunday with that knee injury. So it sounds like another week without Ricky. Are we going to get Brock Purdy this week? That's the question I think a lot of people are going to have on their minds. Is it important to rush Brock Purdy to this road game against Houston, who, while Houston is completely inept on the offensive side of the ball, that is not the place that Brock Purdy is playing. He's playing against a fearsome pass rush that the Houston Texans can provide and can cause a game to get haywire if Purdy is not mobile the right way. Trust me, I watched him against Jacksonville when he came into that game, and it was a skittish Purdy who did not want to get hit in any form or fashion. So the question of whether Purdy plays is a key one to it. I don't know if it totally matters to the outcome for the 49ers, but at some point you can't just throw him out cold in a game that really matters coming up, which I think I'm eyeing the Rams game as the one I think is the most important game for the 49ers moving forward, which is going to be in Santa Clara in about 3 weeks. So I do feel like Kyle has to get the quarterback there ready, playing in one of these next two games in terms of it. I'd imagine maybe they sit him one more week, go house bunny, see what Mac Jones needs to provide, because let's be honest, I think the Niners score 20 and they win this football game. They don't need to score 40 or 30 in this game against the Houston Texans to beat them. Outside of the Giants, I think the Giants are a more formidable team outside of how they can close out a game, but it feels like you need Brock Purdy, I think, a little bit more and a little healthier against this Giants team. So I would say my prediction, I think you need to start Mac one more game and then bring in Purdy to warm up against the Giants team on the road and then go up against the Rams. My only hesitancy about that plan, though, is keep in mind what happens to quarterbacks or people at MetLife Stadium on that turf when Brock Purdy's dealing with a turf toe, and a certain cleat could get caught somewhere in that turf at MetLife, and suddenly your season is turned on a head.
Over.
Right? So, Jorge, where's your level of concern on whether you need Purdy to start playing now? Do you feel like it's wait until the Rams game and he starts cold against the Rams game and hope you avoid playing him there against the Texans and the Giants? Or, you know, where are the factors for you in terms of when Purdy needs to get back to the field?
I think he needs to get back to the field once he's 100% better with his turf toe. I think that was a huge mistake to bring him back before his turf toe was completely healed. I think that, quite frankly, the only reason why he's not out there is because that would, that was a big injury he had. And crypto is tough to analyze, you know. Sometimes you'll feel better, and then all of a sudden, like, you'll go out there and it's not right. So you got to wait till it feels right and everything's good. And quite frankly, I think if we have Mac Jones continuing what he's doing, I mean, right now I think it's better just to leave him in the bench until he's 100%. If he's not 100%, then, I mean, unless Mac Jones goes down and Adrian Martinez is not doing well at all, then yeah, let's go with bring him back. But right now, I don't think we need to rush him, especially the way Mac Jones is playing.
So walk through the scenario, right? We sit Purdy this week against Houston, right? That makes sense. Do you feel comfortable starting him next week if he is good to go? Even on a cursed field like MetLife that has destroyed Niner seasons the past before with injury?
I think you don't start him till after the bye week.
The bye week, Jorge, yeah. that's your season's almost done by then. That's four weeks left.
If he's not 100%, then why would you put him out there?
I mean, I can kind of understand that, though, because at this point, yeah, I get they still have a good record, but
if Mac Jones is playing the way he's playing right now, why do you want to put someone that's not 100% out there?
Because I want to win the division.
But Mac Jones is winning the division right now.
But here's the problem, Jorge. Your hand is forced. You don't have many losses to afford right now.
Well, if Mac Jones is not playing,
everybody.
Come back and bring in Purdy.
But then that's a decision of merit. That's not a decision of health, right? Because it's like, well, we're just going to wait and see.
But right now,
that's a soft benching of Purdy, right? Like, Purdy's healthy when he's healthy. And if he's limited right now.
Is he healthy now? Is he 100% now?
He's healthy enough to practice a little bit now.
But is he 100% now?
Nobody's 100%. Okay, Mac Jones is damn 100%.
Then why would you bring him in? Unless Mac Jones goes down.
Because you paid him $40 million a year to play quarterback for you in some capacity, and there's other quarterbacks that play much worse injuries that are paid that amount of money.
But your team is playing well right now. If your team starts not playing well right now, then you bring him in and see if he changes things. See if he, you know, does what he's done before and makes a difference. And I believe he will make a difference. But quite frankly, why would you bring him in before he's 100%? Especially if you already have someone like Mac Jones who's doing well.
But Mac Jones isn't 100%.
I know he's not 100%. Like, I know, but
so
you're
going to... What gives Kyle the right to start Mac Jones at not 100% when he can't start Brock Purdy? Is that more of an indictment what he believes?
Who's more healthy? Tell me right now, who's more healthy? Mac Jones or I know it's Adrian Martinez, but Adrian Martinez doesn't have the qualities that these two have, right?
You ask me who's the most healthy. That's the one.
What are we talking about here? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about preference. We're talking about managing the season. We're talking about what the best position the Niners can be in right now at the end of the season. Look at the NFC standings right now, Jorge. When it comes to the seventh team that's in the playoffs, it's that Los Angeles Rams team that's two losses are from an Eagles side who blocked a kick and the Niners playing out of their minds on a Thursday night. That's the margin of error in this NFC. You say you have a few games to play with, and I say the NFC is so stacked that you can't afford to lose games and lose ground on this field. You're right now 5-2, and that's fine. But
you forget that we already beat everybody in our division, right?
You have, yes. You did, once with Purdy.
So how do we have no leverage here?
How do we have no leverage? Because I fear that we're playing teams eventually that'll be causing havoc on the line of this Niners team, which is already a brutal unit for this team, and it is not going to be helpful down the stretch, especially, I would say, this next four-game stretch plays against defensive lines that are plus top 10 in the league right now in terms of the capabilities that they can provide. The Texans, the Giants, the Rams, and the Browns, I believe, are some of the four best pass-rushing teams out there in terms of that. So danger is afoot no matter what it is with these Niners. And anytime you have pass rush, which we saw with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl, means that you can be beat at any moment by any of those teams, despite how bad they may look in other departments. I'm saying this stretch for the Niners is a dangerous one, even despite the record of three of the teams that are currently they're facing that are losing records, I would say. They're not immune from a dumb loss or two that could eventually cost them a potential division title, a potential playoff spot, because this NFC side is so stacked. That's my argument.
But, okay, but you're talking about teams. Every game that we have played, that the Niners have played, have been a battle, right? Have been really close games. The ones we won, the ones we lost. And quite frankly, it's going to be like... Frank,
the Falcons game was not... That was never close. The Falcons gave no ounce of respect to that game.
The Falcons was...
Michael Penix looked awful.
But all the other ones have been difficult, right? Have been going down to pretty much the last minutes, pretty much. And it's been like that the whole entire season. And it's going to be like that because we thought we had a cupcake schedule that turned out to be not so cupcake.
I misspoke, by the way. The Niners don't play the Browns in the next four games. They play the Cardinals. They do play the Browns eventually, but
it'll be after the bye.
It'll be after the Panthers game. And then the Browns are right before the bye. So Myles Garrett and company waiting for him right before the bye.
Myles Garrett, right.
And
company, whatever company means.
Mason Graham's a decent first rounder. He could be.
What's the record again?
I don't care.
I'm just asking, what's the record?
Like, they're 3-5 right now, aren't they? 2-6? I don't even know.
I think they're 2-6.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, look at what the Steelers did in Myles Garrett.
They beat the Packers. Right?
Yeah.
Is that the Packers' only losses to the Browns?
Yeah.
It's wild. The NFC best number one seed, their one loss is to the Browns.
No, they have another loss, right?
No, they only have one loss, the Packers.
I think wasn't it also a blocked field goal?
It was a winning field goal. They had a blocked field goal to go ahead for the Packers, and then the Browns hit a go-ahead field goal to win at the end of the game. So that's proof right there, Jorge, that the Browns beat the best team right now in the NFC currently win percentage-wise, right, the Packers. So it's an any-given-week kind of league to it. I think Purdy absolutely is priming to start against the Rams. I think they're priming Ayuk to potentially come back against the Rams. I think they're priming everything to be ready for that game against the Rams. Keep in mind, they can be a game back on the Rams going into that game, because if they win that game, they will be the tiebreaker. They will have the advantage when they are tied in the standings against that Rams team because of the head-to-head. They will have won the season series with 8 weeks to go. So that's a pretty sweet advantage if you're the Niners, if you can take advantage of it. Good conversation. Good banter back and forth, but we got to move on. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more sports stories around there. I might call an audible here in this next segment, so follow along, guys. We'll take a break when we come back on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Ooga, chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka. I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. I'm hooked on a feeling. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench. You're on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. We're in the middle of our hour here, about halfway there until we get to the Thursday night game of the night. Chargers and Vikings tonight from SoFi Stadium. I want to do a little conversation around the Mountain West real quick into this segment here. Fresno State, of course, we know, playing a massive game, 12:30 kick between the Bulldogs and the San Diego State Aztecs in terms of it. We discussed it a lot yesterday on the show. Great conversation. If you want to listen to Jackson Moore, Gabe Camarillo, all of us talk about that in terms of it. So going to be an interesting one. I, for one, am trying to stay – level-headed in a game like this. I'm trying to stay realistic in a game like this. I am trying to, find ways to enjoy the game outside of what expectations are set. And we'll see what this team looks like when it plays football on Saturday at 12:30. Let's do a little daily spread, though, about the Mountain West, brought to you by Valley Pure. Daily spread, excuse me, not brought to you by Valley Pure. Daily spread brought to you by Chichancey Gold Resort and Casino. Chichancey, if you're not trying your luck with your teams over at Chichancey, try your luck with the daily spread and all of that fun stuff at Chichancey Gold Resort and Casino. Okay. The spread of this game has, interestingly, shifted considerably, I would say, to one side for the Fresno State versus San Diego State. The public money is betting on Fresno State.
Really?
In this game. It has dropped a whole point since yesterday morning. Mm. We're down to 2.5. San Diego State is a favorite in this football game. What does the public know? What is driving that line? I find it interesting. I think maybe there's a pedigree there. I think maybe it's a home game. I think maybe it's because Fresno State's 3-0 at home. Maybe it's because it's homecoming. Maybe it's a team coming off the bye, although San Diego State is coming off the bye as well. Not quite exactly sure what to make of that, but I find it interesting in that aspect. Do you find that interesting, Daniel, that the public is betting on Fresno State to drive down the line to 2.5?
I find it a little interesting, but I think I get it because I think we just have the atmosphere for this game with it being homecoming and us doing a blackout game and all that. I feel like we just have the fans have the atmosphere to change the game.
Ori, do you find it interesting that the public has put more money on the Fresno State side in this game, now driving the line down to 2.5 San Diego State?
Yeah, I think maybe it's because they feel like and it's probably Conference Monday changed something, or I don't know, the time of the game maybe also made them change their mind. But yeah, it's a little bit weird.
A little bit weird for sure. I'm curious. You know, Jackson said something interesting. I didn't really press him on it, but I probably could have. In terms of competition and practices this week, kind of feels like the first time the Bulldogs are challenging their players a little bit to earn their spots a little bit more, make it training camp style feel of where you are in the depth chart, maybe a reevaluation of it. Maybe guys got a little too comfy in the spots they were playing in terms of it. I do like the idea of maybe resetting it a little bit that way, shaking it up in that sense. And I wonder, that's how I kind of interpreted it from a Jackson Moore standpoint when he was telling us that yesterday, and I don't know what he said on Tony's show today in terms of it, but do you guys think that might be a good thing that the coaching staff is one that is deciding, hey, we're going to make you a little uncomfortable here this week. Everybody's got to earn a spot. Everybody's got to earn their place on this football team, and I think it's an interesting aspect of what is going on right now in terms of this team and going into this game. What do you think of the competition element of it? First time I'm hearing about it this season. Maybe it sparks something in this game.
I haven't been hearing of it at all, to be honest. So.
But when you think of it as a player yourself, right, sometimes when you come off of a loss like that, mm-hmm. do you feel like you need a kick in the rear end of like, all right, everybody's got to earn something this week because we're not doing status quo practice this week. You earn your spot again.
Definitely. I think that helps. I think it helps them to motivate them more to like, because they do need to earn it, especially with that showing against Colorado State, who they just got their coach fired.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, obviously we lost to a team that on paper and just from seeing isn't good, but we basically beat ourselves just playing them. And I do think losing to a team like that, everybody does need to be reevaluated, just to know like your spot needs to be earned. You're not here just to play.
Yeah. Jorge, what about you? When you hear competition, is it a sign of panic or is it a sign of other things when it comes to maybe it's a sign of what do you make of that when it comes to, hey, coaches are going to reevaluate what's going on here as we roll along?
I think it's a little bit of growing pains coming from a different, you know, place like the, you know, D2 to D1 football. It's a little bit different. Players are a little bit different. And quite frankly, if this is a, you know, coach learning about how players react to certain things or how things are done differently here. Because, to be honest, let's be honest, he got out-coached last game. He got out-coached. And quite frankly, I think he knows that too. And I could see that this is a work in progress. And this is, let's remember, this is his first year in Division One. So, you know, he's learning while going through the season. So I think that's the reevaluating thing. That's the competition thing. I think it's not just the players, it's also the coaches.
Yeah, I could go both ways on this in terms of it. But I do think this team needed something to kind of like wake them up a little bit out of the funk. I think they're playing under their capability right now, which is unfortunate because we've seen good football out of this group. What is the thing I've been preaching about this team? It's a very hard thing to do when you want to put together a complete game of football. And when you're playing against an element like a high-caliber team like what San Diego State has shown this year, it's hard to put together four quarters of solid, great football that goes your way. It's going to be interesting to see where the battle comes from. It's going to be interesting to see where the adversity comes from. Maybe the Bulldogs are the one that strikes and says, hey, here we go, in terms of that, because I think they have the capability of flipping the script, but it really is a matter of playing from ahead on this team. They have to play from ahead. They have to jump out in the lead. Gabe and I talked about it. I'll win that coin toss, I'd take that ball. I would take that football, and I would start on offense and set the tone early in the game like this, because it's going to only ramp up the pressure for other teams. It's like San Jose or San Diego State when they need to be perfect sometimes on the road in this atmosphere. So I'm going to be interested in seeing first quarter so crucial. I think out of all the quarters in this game, the first quarter is going to be the most crucial in terms of what it's going to look like for this Bulldog team moving forward. So that's what we got there. Little quick look at the Mountain West from the other perspective. We got three other games to just quickly hit in terms of that. Boise State is playing tomorrow night at Nevada. It's a Boise State 21.5-point line on the road at Nevada. Nevada's 1-6. They're 0-3 in the Mountain West. Boise State, I think, did lose a wide receiver for the rest of the year to the injury. So we'll see what that affects them in terms of it. But outside of that, Boise's been able to pull away from some good teams. They really took it to UNLV last week. I don't see this changing much in terms of how they play, and I think Boise will win by 24 or something like that. Where do you guys sit on the Boise versus Nevada? 1-6 Nevada taking on 5-2 Boise.
I agree with the line. I think it'll probably end around 21, 24 points.
Yeah. What about you, Jorge?
I feel it's a little bit too high. I don't think that Nevada is just going to lay down and, you know, get destroyed by Boise State. And I also think Boise State, it's a little bit overrated. They've been overrated the whole entire season. But, I think they're
better. They're overrated next week.
Well, I think they're, you know, they are a good team. They're definitely, you know, a contender here in the Mountain West. But they're not, you know, I don't think they're 20 points above
Nevada. Nevada's been bad, though. Nevada got killed by San Diego State 2 weeks ago.
And what was the score there? You remember?
Like 44-6, I think.
Was it? Well, maybe I'm wrong. But
hold on, let me just verify
but
that.
But I don't think.
I remember seeing it was 40 something to nothing.
I just don't think that Nevada.
44-10. 44-10. San Diego beat Nevada 2 weeks ago. Nevada.
Yeah. I don't think that it's in Boise State. It's San Diego State. Or, yeah, like, you know, they're not. That's similar.
Are we saying San Diego State's the best team in the Mountain West? Is that what we're saying right now?
I'm not saying that.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
What are we saying then? Gun to your head, Jorge.
I think UNLV is the best one right now.
After getting beat by Boise last week?
What was the score?
Like 50-something to 30.
Where they play at?
At Boise.
See? Playing at Boise.
See? What do you mean?
Boise has an advantage when they play at Boise.
56-31.
Because that blue turf is like a danger to everybody. It's like
It's a danger to everybody.
It's cursed. Anybody that goes in there gets, you know, old,
you would think
crazy about
a
it.
National championship by now if it's such
crazy.
Oh yeah, but they don't go. See, this is the thing. They don't go and play in Boise whenever they, you know, they play the playoffs.
But in the BCS era?
They didn't play in Boise.
Boise needs to play a potato bowl. We need
a potato bowl.
Yeah. Okay. To me, gun to my head, Boise is the best team in the Mountain West.
I agree with that. I think it goes Boise, UNLV, Fresno State, then San Diego State.
I think it goes Boise, San Diego State, Fresno State, UNLV. I don't trust UNLV. I don't think UNLV's beaten anyone.
Fresno State's the best team in the Mountain West. That's the bottom line right there.
That's what we're looking for, Jorge. That's what we're looking for. Finally,
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Somebody said it. How about two teams that aren't the best in the Mountain West? Utah State and New Mexico going at it. That's 12 o'clock on Saturday. New Mexico, 3.5-point favorite, but Utah State's got a better Mountain West record. I'm inclined to feel Utah State could be beating New Mexico in this one. I really could flip a coin here.
I'd argue Sam Houston can beat either team.
You would argue Sam Houston can beat either
these
team.
These are classic Mountain West teams, man. Yeah, a Mountain West classic game that you were like, this is not going to be good, and all of a sudden it turns into a shootout or something like that.
Right. 12 o'clock kick up in the elevation of New Mexico. I would go Utah State here, personally. I wouldn't go New Mexico's way, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Lastly, Colorado State at Wyoming. Wyoming just kind of chugging along at 3-4. Colorado State just fired their head coach after losing horribly to Hawaii last week at Colorado State. Wyoming, 4.5-point favorite, new coach theory potentially. I would go Wyoming here, personally. That's how I would feel. I think Wyoming could get to 4-4 here with a win.
I can see that. I can see that happen.
Colorado State's got nothing.
I got distracted because I was looking at the standings and I'm like, Hawaii third?
Dude, Hawaii's good.
It's such a good thing we beat them.
I'm telling you, that's a big tiebreaker to have over Hawaii. Mm. I mean, beating Hawaii is maybe our best win of the year. Is that fair to say?
I think so.
Jorge, you think so?
Yeah, it's difficult to go out to Hawaii and play them. It's difficult.
I think a Boise win would be our best win, though, if we go out. I think these next 2 weeks are pivotal.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, well, there you go. That's the Mountain West slate. Only four games on the docket. In the Mountain West. We get another four-game slate next week when we have the Boise game. So, going to be interesting fall. By the way, Army Air Force is next week. Can't wait for that.
Ooh, the Navy's winning the trophy.
See, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter for sure, right? All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap it up here next. We'll talk about the Thursday night game coming up and give out the schedule. Stay with us. Behind the Bench wraps up here next at Fashion Furniture on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live here wrapping up our show before we send it out to Thursday Night Football. A little reminder before we talk about that game, of course, over on 790 you can listen to Sharks and Sharks Hockey as they take on the New York Rangers. Currently the winless Sharks are up 3-1 after one period. Maybe it's the hat, Daniel. Maybe it's the head.
It might have been the head.
This is how we win. This is how we win right here.
So I got to win. I got to wear the hat, and then they'll win there. Yeah, that's the move.
No, I was saying we play the Islanders or the Rangers.
Oh, okay.
We play the Rangers on time.
Yeah, the Rangers 3-4-1 right now. Sharks 0-4-2 as we speak. Other show reminders in terms of what's coming up. Of course, tomorrow we'll have another two-hour edition of Behind the Bench. Earlier than that, though, Sportsline Boulder Hour with Tony D. One final show of that this week, 2 to 3 p.m. We'll have my show from 3 to 5. Before I got to go over to Collegian Stadium and the 6:30 pregame show live from Central East versus Clovis. Going to be an all-time matchup. Myself, Paul Matters, Pat Hill on the call. Should be a lot of fun in terms of that. Over on 790, the World Series begins. Dodgers and Blue Jays live from Toronto. Blue Jays, Dodgers, World Series Game 1, 790. Pregame starting at 4 p.m. And then it should be a 5 p.m. first pitch there as well. So should be a good matchup there. Saturday, we'll have Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Matters from 10 a.m. to noon. Then the World Series will once again begin at 4 o'clock. Imagine coming out of that Fresno State football game, a good time to turn on the radio while you wait in traffic out of the game and turn on the World Series pregame between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. Game 2 is going to be 4 p.m. with a 5 p.m. first pitch. Might be what I do when I get home from that football game. That might be the move. Could be the move. I don't know about the college slate yet. I haven't even looked at what the college slate is. Like. Any big ones this week?
There's LSU versus Texas A&M.
Okay. Hot seat for Brian Kelly, I've heard.
Yeah.
It's a hot seat no matter where. You coach in the SEC, you're on a hot seat perpetually, yeah. Let's be honest with you.
Bama plays South Carolina, I think.
Okay. Upset alert there. Yeah. And then on Sunday, we'll have Niners and Texans live on 14:30 at 9 a.m. pregame with a 10 a.m. kickoff from Houston. Thursday or Sunday Night Football, Packers and Steelers. Do you know this, Jorge and Daniel? Do you hear this? The Packers have not won in Pittsburgh since 1970.
Oh, really?
The Packers have not won in Pittsburgh since 1970.
That streak continues.
That streak continues?
Since 1970?
1970, yes.
Well, this might be the year.
You're saying this is our year, huh? Sharks and Wild is going to be on 790, and following that we will have the Lakers and the Kings, and we'll be back for Monday with another two-hour edition of the show. We'll have Commanders versus Chiefs for Monday Night Football. World Series Game 3 from Los Angeles will be on 790, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. All right, let's do another look at the spread of tonight's game, the Vikings and the Chargers. The Vikings are going to play with Carson Wentz once again at quarterback. Aaron Jones activated tonight, by the way. He seemed to progress out of his injury a little bit faster than I think many people anticipated. Aaron Jones available tonight could change the dynamic of what the Vikings can do on offense in terms of it. It's been very hit or miss for what Minnesota can do on the offensive end after, I would say, you know, a tough loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't feel like they were totally competitive in that football game, but they did some nice things. That defense got exposed a little bit on the deep ball from their athletes from the Philadelphia side. On the flip side, I think the Chargers have been immensely disappointing so far through the last 4 weeks or so. Three out of the four they have lost. Injuries, of course, abound on this roster. Can't seem to establish a running game anymore to help themselves throughout this season. Justin Herbert is running for his life a lot now, it seems like. And I just don't know what the Chargers have to win a game like this tonight. I will go with Minnesota to win this Thursday night game. I think their defense can cause issues for this L.A. Charger team. Daniel, what do you think? Vikings and Chargers tonight.
I feel like they're still very, very even, but I think I'll take the Vikings just because I feel like they have the upper hand because Chargers have their offensive line issues. And then I feel like when Justin's like when he's in danger, I guess, when he's having to run around, he's more prone to like his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's going to happen a lot tonight. So I'd say give me the Vikings. Give me them by a touchdown.
Okay. Jorge, where do you stand on Vikings and Chargers tonight? Who are you leaning to in terms of picking tonight?
I had the Chargers up at the beginning of the year. I thought they were like a big you know, contender for a playoff spot, but they've been falling off recently. They haven't been playing to what I think they were good at. But also, the Vikings are in the same exact boat. I thought they were going to be really good this year. I thought they were going to handle things in their division, but they haven't. And it's been really, you know, both franchises or both teams have been really, you know, not play to what we thought their capabilities were at the beginning of the year. I think this game's going to be, you know, one of those games that makes one team feel better about their season and makes another team think that their season's pretty much over. So, you know, I think the Chargers are going to win it, but it is going to be a really close game.
Yeah, I think it'll be competitive, close, and we've had a streak of really good Thursday night games, by the way. Pretty crazy Thursday night games in terms of it. So we will see if it stands out. By the way, a reminder, the Chargers currently a 6 seed in their AFC playoff picture. You want to know where the Vikings are? Basically a similar record. The Vikings are 3-3. The Chargers are 4-3. Chargers are 6 seed in their conference. You want to guess where the Vikings are?
Probably like 10th.
They're 12th.
Oh, wow.
They're in 12th place in the NFC. That's how stacked the NFC is right now. The Vikings are in the equivalent standings position as the Cleveland Browns in the AFC now in terms of how far down they are. So I would say the Vikings absolutely need this game over the Chargers, but the Chargers need to turn things around. It feels like kind of a gotta-have-a game here for both of these teams, so we'll see how it all turns out there. Guys, great work as always. Appreciate the job on the show. Daniel, good job by you. Good job by Jorge back in the studio. Guys?
Great show.
Great show. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thursday night football. Vikings, Chargers, next on 1430.